All right, what is going on, my friends? Tony Stephan here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by no other than Marcy Nevin. If you don't know who Marcy is, she is a fitness professional with an amazing Instagram, amazing content. And she is here today to drop some knowledge bombs for us. Marcy, how are you?
I'm well, Tony. Thank you so much for having me.
Super, super excited. So can't wait to get into this. Can't wait to talk more about you. Like we were talking about earlier, is I'm a huge fan of your content. The thing I love so much about your content, because Instagram, YouTube, it's full of information, right? But the thing that struck me right off the bat with your content is it's for everyone. So it's for someone like me, registered dietitian, who can take it at an esoteric level and learn from it. But it's also for the 50-year-old mother who's just kind of getting into fitness and nutrition, who can read your captions and look at your infographics, which is a great combination, and learn so much. So that is an amazing, amazing skill.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and it's interesting. I didn't even really want to do the infographics because I started doing them last May, and it wasn't one of the first ones to do it, but maybe one of the first, 10 to 20 people. And I was working with a friend of mine, Jordan Sutt, who was probably the second person to do them. Mm. He and I were on the phone, and I said to him, Jay, everyone's doing this infographic thing. I really don't want to do it. I feel like I'm going to be a sellout. I'm just going to be copying everybody. Please tell me I don't have to do the infographics. He's like, well, yeah, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but I would strongly encourage you to, because it is what is the most effective strategy right now to get your message across. And I think part of my resistance is that I'm not a very creative person. And so I didn't want to have to go through that learning curve of figuring out how to do them and, all of that. And it did, it took a long time. Like I spent probably 5 hours, on my first one. And then from there, it's gotten a little bit easier, but they have been so effective and they've really helped my business grow. And it's amazing how many people will come up to me and just, say out of appreciation how grateful they are to have those, because it distills the information down. So it makes it more digestible. Right. And I think that's really important, especially like you said, when we have this information overload, just to make it a little bit more less complicated is really helpful for people.
Oh, I love that so much. And that to me, I'm surprised you said that when you said you're not a creative person. You fooled me, because it's really good stuff. And this is something I've talked about so much, that formal education almost in a way makes it harder for you to take that knowledge and make it like stupidly simple for the end user. I remember when I first started at my job as a dietitian out of college, my manager would say, you got a great presentation, but talk to me like I'm a third grader. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Like, you're presenting in college and all that. So it's good to hear that, for someone like you, even that was a challenge. How did you get over that hump? Or how do you, like when you design your content, who are you speaking to, or, and how do you get that message so simple and easy to digest?
I'm speaking to probably the clients that I see in person, because they are, either busy moms, busy professionals who don't have a lot of time, who have very little knowledge when it comes to nutrition, or maybe they are, still putting into practice outdated methodologies. Mm-hmm. Somebody who is not at my level, is not at your level, and is really just starting out. And it's interesting because you'll see these infographics and they are very basic information. Like, here's what 30 grams of protein looks like, or here's what, protein sources look like. And there is this one account who I love the guy. He has really good content, but he put something out recently. Like he was almost putting down some of those infographics that say, oh, here are protein sources. Mm-hmm. So he's like, ha ha ha. Like, doesn't everyone know what protein source is? And I'm like, yeah, no, they don't.
No, they don't.
Right? No. Like, people do not know the differences between carbs and fats and protein and what those look like. And yeah, it may be totally intuitive for us. Mm-hmm. And we may think this is really stupid, basic information that no one is going to benefit from. But you would be amazed when you actually put that really simple content out there, how many people respond, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. I had no idea. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I really think you just have to go down to the very basic level. And like you said, treat these people like they're third graders, like they have no nutritional knowledge whatsoever, because many people don't. And it's easy to forget that when you are immersed, maybe not immersed, but when, you know, you're kind of like in the thick of it and you're reading the research and all of that, to learn more yourself, and that may be easy for you to digest, but the people that we're working with and trying to help are on a completely different level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that, that things we take for granted, like our knowledge, is not common sense. And I've had that same revelation with clients of like, you're right. People don't know what a protein is. People don't know what a fat is, right? Is peanut butter fat or protein or carb? It's like, the more simple you can make things, the better. Absolutely. So did it take you a while to learn that? Or did you just kind of always have that up front when you started?
You mean with the infographics or like when I started in the industry just in general?
When you started in the industry just in general.
Well, it's funny because I've been training people in person now for about 10 years. And looking back at the things that I used to tell people in the beginning, I shake my head. I am so, so embarrassed because I was trying to instill in people the things that I was doing. Oh, you have to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. You have to eat every 6 hours or, you know, every 3 hours, 6 small meals a day. The stuff that at the time I thought was right and that I believed in. It's embarrassing to look back, but over time, you know, I have learned more, which has made me a better coach. And now I realize that it doesn't have to be so complicated and it doesn't have to be so rigid either. You know, there was no flexible dieting in my vocabulary the first couple of years that I was a trainer, right? So everyone had to eat clean, treats were forbidden, you know, all of that. So how can we put a strategy in place that makes it so you never, you know, have something off your plan? And that's just, it's not sustainable for people.
Right.
You know?
Definitely. And I'm with you. Like I always joke, I started training when I was 18. So about 9 years ago, if I even had to watch the workouts I put people through, I would just, like, give them their money back today. Like, oh, I'm so sorry you paid for this. So we all go through that. We all go through that transformation. And when people always ask, like, how do I become a good coach? Well, just coach people because you're going to make mistakes. Yeah. You're going to make mistakes along the way. So a couple of things on that, like, so obviously now you're still training in person, you're online as well. Where do you get your information from? So as you said, we're always learning, we're always growing. Like, where are your sources that you're furthering your education on?
Good question. So, you know, you and I talked before this started about Jason Phillips.
Yep.
I've learned a lot from Jay because he was my personal nutrition coach for about 18 months.
Wow.
And I learned a lot through working with him. I would say John Berardi was the first person who I started to learn from. And that was back when I was in college. So I'm 34 now. I probably came across his information when I was about 19. So I've been studying his stuff for a long time. Alan Aragon, obviously, he's amazing.
Yep. I would
say those are my top three whose information I really trust
and
always go to if I'm trying to learn more.
I love that so much. I've got so much I want to ask you about that. So it's so funny because I've said literally the same thing that my coach, Paul Rivella, is one of the people that I've learned the most from just by being a client. You know, of course, I'll pick his brain, and it's the respect of probably just like Jason had with you. He knew you were a fitness professional or on your way to be a fitness professional. But by hiring coaches, you learn so much because multiple things, but you put on the client hat. Right? Mm-hmm. We become clients and it also helps us like relate more to our current clients or our future clients, but so much. And that's, I put that as invaluable of hiring a coach, and people think it's like crazy, but like, I'm a fitness professional, I don't need a coach. Dude, you're going to learn so much by investing in coaching for yourself. It makes you a better coach to others. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 100%. Funny you say that because I worked with Paul Rabella for a little while as well.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So interestingly enough, I have had a coach since, again, I was probably 19, 20 years old. I have always worked with someone, whether it's someone who helps me design my training programs or my nutrition. It is extremely beneficial. For me, one of the reasons I do it is because I am kind of an overanalyzer and I tend to get in my own head too much and question my knowledge or my belief. And I will definitely overthink it just to the point of, you know, analysis paralysis.
Yes.
So it almost like it takes the decision fatigue out of the equation for me. So if I'm trying to, you know, build my business, work with clients, I've got a lot of other stuff going on that I want to be really good at. If I have to think about my own nutrition, my own training, that's just going to cause me even more stress. So yeah. I always outsource it. And so, yeah, not only does it make it easier for me, but like you said, I learn so much through that. And interestingly enough, not only do I learn what works, but I also learn what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I worked with a coach probably back in 2008, I think. I worked with him for about 9 months and I was on a meal plan. And I could substitute foods here and there, but it was very rigid. And I realized after that, oh my gosh, like that is just terrible, you know? And it wasn't sustainable. It did not allow me to think for myself. I really did not learn that much from it other than this is not how I would want to coach somebody myself. Right. So yeah, I think that you can learn a lot from that, what works and what doesn't work.
Wow. I love that. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So obviously, right, you have the formal education, but you invested a lot in self-education. And I'm coming from the RD world to where I was under the misconception that I'm going to, you know, invest tens of thousands of dollars, get these two letters after my name, and that's it. I'm never going to have to learn again. Like I've got all the knowledge in the world. Then when I got out into the real fat loss space as a dietitian this time, not so much as a personal trainer, I was doing both, but my focus was nutrition. I had a rude awakening and I realized that it was going to be investing in coaches, investing in people like Alan Aragon. I pay for his research review. I've got the April edition right here. And investing in more of that self-education. One of my favorite quotes ever, I think is Jim Rohn, is formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. And that's the whole goal of this podcast is to take people who do have formal education, but then use personal development and bridge that gap to really find success. Can you just expand a little bit more on like your personal growth beyond getting your formal education?
Well, interestingly enough, my formal education is not in the nutrition or fitness space. I'm not an RD like you. I was actually telling somebody this earlier when I was at work training clients because I'm wearing my University of Oregon
jacket
right now. Go Ducks. Yeah. And so she was asking me, oh, Marcy, you're from Oregon. And I said, no, I just went to school there. And so she was questioning, you know, what my degree was. And I said, I was a journalism major. And I had wanted to study nutrition, but Oregon did not offer that as a major. And I knew the minute I set foot on that campus, I have to go here. And I was willing to give up, you know, that path of the, you know, studying nutrition in order to go to school. And so I said, well, I'm a good writer. I enjoy writing. So I will utilize that as my degree. And then hopefully one day I can write about, you know, fitness, nutrition, all of that. So, I mean, when it comes to what I'm doing now, my formal education has nothing to do with it. I took, you know, maybe six like exercise nutrition classes while I was there as electives. And then basically it was just studying on my own. I tell this story all the time. I remember, you know, being up until 11, 12 at night on what T Nation or at that point, what was Figure Athlete. And just, you know, getting my hands on as much information as I could. And I would do that instead of going out and partying with my friends. Like I was just so so into it and wanting to learn more. And that is what has gotten me to where I am today, you know, just constantly studying. Trying to get my hands on as much as I could. And that's been everything. And then, you know, also now hiring business coaches, and because I don't know any of that stuff. And we all have, you know, our strengths. And I think it takes in order to be successful, you have to be willing to admit to what you are not good at and seek ways to get better.
Mm, love that. Love that. I think that's so awesome. And there's countless people who have thriving health and fitness businesses that didn't study health and fitness in college.
Right.
And I think, a lot of dietitians are going to hate me for this when I say this, but I think you got like someone who maybe doesn't have extensive formal education in nutrition has a bit of an advantage because you are better at keeping things simple, as to where I've openly said that my formal education has made it much harder for me at first. Like I said, I was used to presenting in front of, you know, professors or physicians, whatever. And when we were in clinical, you know, and then when I had to take it to the end user, the person I wanted to attract as an ideal client, I wasn't good at it. And I would, and even like my business coach, because we talk a lot about that, Bedros Koulian, yells at me at least once a month for overthinking. And he's like, it's not your fault. It's your formal education background, because you think you're trained to think, and then shoot. And you'll agree with this: as an entrepreneur, you have to shoot and then analyze and see what works. So, I see it as both ways. I obviously, you know, love formal education, but I also see a lot of advantage of going a quote non-traditional route. I would definitely have to assume though, your journalism background, that definitely has to help you now as you're creating content and your captions, things like that.
Oh, absolutely. So, and I mean, kind of joke around like, oh, my parents are probably happy that all the money they spent sending me to college is finally paying off. Right. Cause I'm actually writing and communicating and all that. So yes, it may have taken a while, but it has certainly paid off.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. So you talked a lot about, obviously with your content, you know, crafting it for the ideal user. Do you think that's an important thing for people and maybe other health and fitness professionals who do want to create content, knowing who they're speaking to, not what's the quote? If everyone's your customer, no one's your customer. So instead of trying to make things so broad and realm and try to be on every side of the point, just kind of like polarizing some people while attracting exactly who you want.
Yeah, I think it's important to niche down, definitely. And you know, this is something that I still kind of struggle with because I have two different sides of me, so to speak. Like I do speak a lot about fat loss, but then I also speak a lot about just overall health. Mm-hmm. So you've probably seen my posts on, you know, gut health and things like that.
Yep.
So those two may be, I don't think they're totally polarizing because you can intersect the two, but there have been times when I'm like, is my message a little bit, you know, too mixed? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but yes, I don't think that you can talk about things that don't apply to each other at all. You have to have a little bit more of a slant. And I think that's important because, you know, marketing is all about saying the same thing over and over and over again, even if you think that it's boring. Because, right, it's like, oh, here I am talking about protein again.
Right.
And I find myself thinking that. I put up a post last night, you know, what was it? Idea, you know, like high protein breakfast ideas for busy mornings. And I have put up so many posts about the importance of protein, you know, how to get enough in your diet. I'm like, people are probably so sick of this, but every time I do, I'm getting those comments. Thank you so much. This is so helpful. Awesome. I think that people just need to see it over and over and over again for it to really resonate. And
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Perfect. I agree with that so much. And even I can even look at my own life to where mentors have said things to me multiple times, but then they say it in a different way and it really sticks. And again, like this is why personal training helps so much if you have that background, even with nutrition, because it's like I even think about, you know, helping clients with like scapular retraction. Sometimes I say, stand in front of a drill sergeant. How would you stand? Puff your chest up. Or other times I'd say, all right, have a Superman chest, proud chest. It's like, you got to like spin things different ways for people to get it. And I think that's a fundamental understanding of, like you said, marketing or, you know, businesses. people need to see things multiple times for it to really stick, because there's an overwhelm of information out there. Like you nailed it. It's anxiety of overwhelm for most people, and even for us, right? Even for professionals, it's like, whoa, mm-hmm. there's so much. So let's talk about that. So the fitness industry, as we know, fitness nutrition industry is overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much information out there. I would love to know what drives you bonkers out there. Like what are you seeing? If there's anything that you see it and you're just like, oh, that message drives me nuts, or just something you don't agree with.
Oh, the quick fixes, the juice cleanses, the detoxes. That is what drives me crazy, because you know, I have not fallen for any of that myself. Mm-hmm. I've never done that, you know, 30-day challenge or 30-day cleanse, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Thank God. I don't know. I did a lot of stupid stuff in my day, but that was not one of them, fortunately. But I've seen a lot of people, whether it's, you know, friends, family, clients, who have fallen for that stuff, and they may get results in the short term, but then once they go back to eating normally, they gain all the weight back. And then they're struggling. They are struggling to get it back off, and they don't know where to turn to next and what is the next best thing. And so they keep going back to what worked that first time. And the mm-hmm. problem is, I think this is a quote that I got from Jason, actually, you can only diet like hardcore one time in your life, and then you're basically screwed, right?
So, yeah, love that.
But it's true, you know? So you see these people who they go on these juice cleanses or, you know, these very, very low calorie diets, they lose a bunch of weight, then they compromise their metabolism, they gain all the weight back when they go back to eat normally, and then the only way that they know how to get it back off is to go back to one of those quick fix protocols. And it's this vicious cycle that it's just going to make things that much harder for them. So, you know, I think it was probably born out of people's desire, coaches' desires to make a quick buck. And this is what's going to get results. And, you know, it's going to be great for testimonials, but it is not thinking about the long-term consequences that result from that. So I think that is my biggest frustration, is coaches who care more about making a quick buck than the overall health, long-term health, physiological, mental health of their client.
Mm, love that so much. I really do. Again, that's the one thing we were talking about earlier, is that with your content, you can tell you genuinely care about people. You genuinely care, because how do I know that? Because all it is give, give, give. It's give, 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 and more give, you know, which is the best strategy ever for growth, right? Is to give, give, give. But I completely agree with that. And it's something that I found myself really reflecting on a lot too, that why is it that the fitness industry and people who consume fitness related content, why are they so trained to think nutrition is a 30-day thing or weight loss is a 12-week and done thing? And I agree that a lot of the time it's just, that's the overwhelm of information, because you know, that's the sexy answer that sells. What sells is a 12-week brand new you program, right? What's harder to sell is, hey, 2 years of hard work, losing weight, you know, recovering your metabolism, and then getting you to the long-term answer. Do you find it challenging with new clients to, not that they're brainwashed, that's a strong term, but to reverse some of the information they've been told out there, and then to implement the successful answer, which I said is the non-sexy answer of long-term consistency and patience?
Absolutely. It's something that I struggle with every day. Not so much with my in-person clients, because they don't have this sense of urgency. I think that with my in-person clients, I mean, some of these people have been with me for 7-8 years.
Awesome.
And really with them, I think that they come to me because they are too scared to go to a gym on their own. They're not necessarily looking to lose as much body fat as possible. Like a lot of my clients are older, and I think they just come to me because it's easier, right? Mm-hmm. But the people who approach me online, they definitely have more aggressive fat loss goals. And often they come to me because they are frustrated. What they're doing is not working. They've tried so many things in the past that continue not to work. And a lot of what I do is having to, you know, unprogram, so to speak, that mentality. And it's hard because I do have them track their weight because I think it is a good measure of progress. But when they see the fluctuations and they don't see that rapid weight loss that I know they really want to see, it gets, you know, it goes to their head and they have a really hard time disconnecting that, you know, the fact that the scale is going to fluctuate. It doesn't mean that you are not making progress. And I think it's because some of these people, they have taken the quick fix approach in the past and they have seen the pounds coming off really fast. But because they did that, now they are in a situation where it's not going to be as easy the next time.
Right.
So yeah, having those conversations are not always easy. And you can have the conversation 1 week and kind of talk them off the ledge. And then the next week, you know, the scales back up a couple of pounds and they're freaking out again.
Yep.
So it takes a long time, which is why I really try to say to them, you know, the scale is only one measure of progress. It's, you know, talk about your biofeedback measure. So how are your sleep, you know, how are you sleeping? What's your energy? How are your cravings? How is your mood? You know, how's your performance in the gym? All of those things are so much more important than, you know, what the number on the scale says, and really just getting to a place where you're enjoying the process. You are enjoying, you know, putting those habits in place. And eventually, if you can detach from what the number says and just focus on the process and what you need to eventually get to your goal, that ultimately is what is more rewarding.
Love that.
A lot of people, they miss that for sure. You know, they only have tunnel vision as to, here's what I want the number on the scale to say. I will only be happy if, you know, that is the outcome. And they miss everything along the way that you have to do to get there, but also enjoying those small wins, right? So maybe that's, you know, my strength has gone up. I've been more consistent with my workouts. You know, I'm making better choices. All of those things are huge. And that is what overall will contribute to a healthy lifestyle and making the weight loss when it does happen more sustainable.
Absolutely. I love that so much. A quote, I forgot where I got this from, but it was to be behavior focused instead of outcome focused. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I took that even personally to where you can't control the outcome on certain things, right? Whether it's like, you know, personal, like whatever, business or fitness, like all you can control is your behaviors. And I completely agree that people obsess with the outcome of like, I will only be happy when the scale says 150 or 50 pounds, or I only be happy with that. And then once they get there, if they get there, I've always felt that's an unfulfilling journey, right? So I think,
so true.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful that you said that. And I was like laughing when you said, it's like you talk someone off the ledge 1 week, they feel better. And then it's like 5 days later, you had that same conversation. Mm-hmm. How do you help a client in that instance to, like you said, that they've been so like conditioned to think of weight loss as like every week the scale must move and every week I must be losing weight. And, you know, it was so much easier the first time I did this 5 years ago. Why is it harder today? What are some tools or how do you kind of coach a client off the ledge and keep them on the path?
So in the interest of full transparency, I do have my clients weigh every day.
Sure.
At least that's what I suggest. They don't always do it. You know, sometimes in the beginning, like they're all for it. They do it every day. And I think, you know, as time goes on, maybe they forget, they kind of get out of the habit. But the reason for that is, you know, I tell them this is not because I believe that weight is the end all be all, but I do want to see those trends over time. And hopefully we will see a downward trend, right?
Yeah.
But when the scale fluctuates, that can be for so many different reasons. And having that data is really important. So I'll use one of my current clients as an example. You know, she is someone who has been on diet after diet after diet. And after her last one, she ended up gaining, you know, 20 pounds. And now is at the point where she's super frustrated. She just wants the weight to come off as quickly as possible. And she definitely lets the number get to her head. It's okay, you know, let's be objective about this. And you can see that, you know, over the weekend, here's what you ate. You know, your calories were a little bit higher. You ate way more carbs. You know that, you know, you ate dairy and that is something that doesn't agree with you. So now we can see in the next couple of days, your weight has increased. And that's probably the result of, yes, maybe a little too many calories, but too many processed foods, foods that don't agree with you that are, you know, creating some inflammation, creating some water retention, whatever that may be. Let's give it a few days, see if the weight comes down. What do you know? Weight comes down. Same thing with, you know, their monthly cycle, because most of the women that I coach are female. So your weight is going to increase, you know, a couple weeks before your period. And then once it's over, you know, the weight will come back down. So allowing them to see that the fluctuations are completely normal, but also being able to connect the dots as to why that may be happening is really important. So even though, yes, the weight or the number on the scale can kind of go to people's heads, I still think it's important to have that data so that you can show them it's not because you gained fat overnight, it's because, you know, of these factors. And then you can work on correcting those, right? Okay, so if you know that dairy makes your makes the scale go up, maybe we shouldn't be incorporating that into the diet, you know, unless you're okay with the number going up for, you know, the next day or two.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much. And again, it's like more and more, I kind of hear you talk, the more I'm just impressed by what you're saying, because you're right. And this took me for the longest time to learn as a coach that you can't just come out and say something, right? You can't just come out and say, it's your menstrual cycle why the weight is going up. You almost have to be like, okay, weigh yourself every day and let's see what happens. And then it's like, oh, well, what conclusion can we draw that when the scale always goes up, like what's occurring? Well, I'm eating dairy. Do you think we should take that out? Yeah, maybe let's try that. And it's almost like doing what we know, what we already know is going to happen, but just letting them discover that on their own. And you hear so much like negative things about like, don't be a prisoner to the scale and, you know, don't weigh yourself. It's about how you look and feel. But if people have those aesthetic goals, like you said, it's a tool. And sometimes you have to just let them do that so they can conceptualize and they can empirically see that movement every day that it is going up and down, and then that they can kind of arrive at that conclusion on their own. And I, you know, I see that a lot with people like, yeah, you shouldn't ever jump on the scale. It's like, it's a tool and you have to create a healthy relationship with it. As I was scrolling through your Instagram, you know, gathering a lot of information for this talk, I saw, it was a screenshot of a text message, and this was a while ago. So okay. I was creeping a while ago. But it said, because it was a client and it was like, frustrated, the scale went up 3 pounds or whatever. And you're like, you did not gain 3 pounds of fat overnight. Don't worry. And that's something that's so funny because I found myself saying that to people or clients as well. And they're like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, 3 pounds of adipose tissue for that to synthesize overnight would be excess of thousands upon thousands of calories. I'm like, it's just physiologically not possible. So just don't worry. And then 2 days later, yeah, you're right. Scale's back to normal.
Or down even.
Yeah, or down.
Right? Yeah. So it all goes back to trusting the process.
It's hard for people though, because like you said, it's, I think they've been burned so many times. I mean, here's an interesting analogy. It's like the person who's, you know, tried to find a partner for forever and has just been burned and jaded and burned. And it's like putting themselves back out there just to trust the process. I really look at that as a parallel to fat loss. Mm-hmm. I've tried the detoxes. I've tried the cleanse. I've tried the so-and-so's book or program or whatever. And it's like, then they come to us. And do you ever feel this way that it's like, it's almost harder to be the good guy because they trust more the marketer of like 30-day results than they do now us coming in and being like, look, this is going to take about 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a hard position for us to be in.
It is.
Really is. Yeah. So you do the best you can and hopefully they are receptive to the information and the feedback. I mean, that you can only do the best that you can do. And yeah, like I said, just hope that they will eventually come around.
I love that. There's a book I read. It was Seth Godin, All Marketers Are Liars. Ooh. And it's a good quick read, like all Seth Godin's books, like Purple Cow. I don't know if you got into any of that.
Not yet.
Yeah, good stuff. But and what he said was pretty much that there's certain people that will always get to your message, and then there's certain people who won't. And you can't convince, you know, if I say this pen is black and someone just sees it as blue and they want to believe it's blue, I can't convince them of otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hardest part with coaching sometimes is realizing, like you said, we can just put the information out there. I forgot who I was saying. It was someone I was also talking to on a podcast. I was like, have you ever seen The Matrix?
I have not. That's crazy. No. I know.
It's okay. It's a good movie. But he pretty much says, I'll show you the blue pill and I'll show you the red pill. I can't force you to go either way. It's up to you. Morpheus said that. And I'm like, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm Morpheus. I'll show you what fat loss looks like. I'll show you what, you know, reverse dieting or building up your calories will look like. I can't force you to do anything, you know, because a lot of times you'll hear clients say that, like, if you tell me absolutely I need to do this, I'll do it. Like, you know, I'll cut this out. And I always say, no, I'm not forcing you to do anything. But that was an insightful, very like wisdom thing you just said there, that all we can do is put the information out there. It's hard. It's up to them to receive it. Do you find it hard when a client, you've done everything and they're not, for whatever reason, it's not clicking?
Oh, yes. I still find it frustrating, and I used to take it really personally, but I try not to do that anymore because, you know, you can't want it for the client more than they want it for themselves.
Love that.
And at the end of the day, you can give them all the knowledge, all of the motivation, but they have to be willing to take that and apply it to themselves.
I love that.
So yes, I mean, of course, you know, I want all of my clients to succeed. And when there have been ones that don't, or, you know, that don't get the results that I would have wanted them to, or that they want for themselves. But yeah, trying to detach from that is really important because you can't beat yourself up over it. My coach, my powerlifting coach, I mean, he always says, you know, if the person is not doing what they need to be doing, then there is a disconnect. Like, they are not yet seeing themselves as that person that they want to become. And you have to act as if you want to reach your goal. So you have to act like you're a person who has already lost the body fat, and you have to be in that mindset. And once you can do that, the process becomes a lot easier. But I find that there are a lot of times, you know, mental or emotional blocks that are hindering people from reaching their goals. And I think that can be a lot of different things. You know, a lot of people are afraid of failure, but I think that some people are even afraid of success. So what is it going to look like if I become this new person? And being able to look at it from that perspective and not just saying, oh, this person is unmotivated, and oh, it's so frustrating to work with them because they're just not doing what I'm saying. I think you have to get a little clinical with it and, you know, kind of like develop some mindset practices to figure out, you know, what is really going on with this person. And a lot of the times it is not a matter of just try harder. Something deeper is going on.
Love that. That can be a whole 1 hour podcast in itself, is the mindset of, you know, weight loss. One of my favorite quotes, I think it's a Lane Norton quote. I'm not sure, but I'll give Lane the credit. You can't separate physiology from psychology. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. Once I kind of made that connection, is you're right. Sometimes it's not try harder. It's how can I, you know, frame this differently for my client. And I love what your coach said, is put yourself in the mindset of, you know, and this is something I've said too with clients, is like, how would you act if you were down 30 pounds? What would that person do? Well, that person would work out every day. That person would eat consistently. Like that just go act that, and then you'll achieve that. So yeah, that could be a talk all in itself here. So the two other questions I did have for you here is, if someone wanted to get started with creating content, right? So maybe they're a fitness professional, you know, a nutrition person, online coach. What would be your tips? Like how could someone who feels overwhelmed by all the information out there, how could they create their own voice or get started with that?
So this could be a little, I guess, counterintuitive or go against what some business coaches, marketing coaches would say, but I think it's all about creating value and trying to help that end user. So for example, I used to post pictures of, you know, my food, my workouts. And at the end of the day, it's like, how is that really helping somebody? You know, yes, maybe it's motivating, but me putting up, you know, how much I squatted is not really going to get that person closer to where they need to be. So putting yourself in your target audience's frame of mind and asking yourself, okay, what does this person need? How can I be, you know, the most useful to them? What are the common questions that I am hearing them ask? And then create the content based on that. So I don't think that social media should be like the me show, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it should be all about the other person on the other side of the screen.
Mm, love that. Put yourself in their shoes and create something that you know would find valuable to them. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that.
And you know, one of the things that Jordan Syatt said to me when he and I first started working together, and he was encouraging me to do the Instagram or the infographics, he was looking at my feed, and I think the night before our call, I posted a picture of these Brussels sprouts that I was eating. He's like, yeah, Marcy, those Brussels sprouts look delicious, but no one's going to share that. That is not shareable information or shareable content. So kind of get into the mindset of what type of information that can you create that other people are going to want to share with their family, their friends. So I'm sure, you know, you put up posts where someone will tag a friend of theirs. Hey, mm-hmm. you know, check out this post. This is so great. And that the type of stuff that gets shared is not the stuff that is all about you and, you know, what you are doing. It right. is information that is actually helping someone get closer to achieving their goal.
Love that. Love that. Really, really good. Very insightful. Awesome. So if people want to connect with you, if people want to learn from your amazing content, which I highly, highly recommend, how can people find you? How can they learn more about you, work with you?
So the best place to find me is on Instagram. That is where I spend the majority of my time. So my fitness or my Instagram is simply Marcy Nevin, MarciNevin. And I do my very best to reply to every comment on my post, to reply to every DM. So if you shoot me a message, ask me a question, I will certainly get back to you. You can also email me. I can give you the link later, Tony, if you want to put it somewhere.
Yep.
But those are probably the two best places.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll link to both those below in the podcast description here. So this has been amazing. This has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for taking your time. Anything else that you'd like to add or input here at the end?
I don't really think so. We covered so much ground, but for anyone listening who is just starting on their fitness journey, you know, just take it one day at a time and do your best. You just try to make good choices. And when you fall off, which you will because you're human, just get right back on track. It is all about consistency and patience. And that has been said so many times, like out there in the fitness space. It's kind of like, I think the new slogan right now, but it's really true. And if you can just do the daily habits over and over again, you will definitely get to your goal. It may not happen as fast as you want, but sustainability is what's important in the long run.
Absolutely. And you're right. It has been said so many times, but it's something that should be said over and over and over. Cause like you said, people need to see things repetitively to really click with it, and how someone explains consistency could be totally different and really stick. So thank you again so much, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to comment, let us know, reach out to Marcy. Like, she's a very cool person, very insightful. Learn from this. And as always, more things coming soon. Thanks, guys. And thank you, Marcy.
Thank you, Tony. This was awesome. I appreciate it.
Of course.